Now, 9.8 million homes in Australia are left vacant. In times when housing affordability is worsening, the rise of homeless people in Australia's capital cities, and where there is a glut of apartments but fewer houses, meaning less flexible accommodation arrangements, there doesn't seem to be an easy answer. Joining me is Catherine Cashmore, author of Speculative Vacancies and president of Prosper Australia. Welcome, Catherine.
Hi, welcome.
So, what is defined as a vacant property?
Well, in the Speculative Vacancies Report, we define vacancies based on water usage data. So a property that is using an abnormally low proportion of water over a 12-month period that would be impossible for someone to live there on that amount of water is classified as a vacant property.
And what are some of the reasons that property is left vacant?
It could be a whole range of reasons. I mean, there would certainly be reasons such as renovations, for example, people doing renovations during the year, or perhaps people have inherited an estate from a parent that has died and they haven't cleared the furniture out and they're not in a position to do that. But there's also another, perhaps more prevalent reason, and that is that the yields in Melbourne are at record lows. So if you buy a property, for example, the yield that you would get off that property is below 3%, and that's a gross yield. So once you've taken your property management costs and your maintenance into account, it would be approximately half that amount. And for that price, it's barely worth renting the property. And for buyers that buy new apartments, for example, which are in oversupply, if you can't get a tenant in that apartment and you have to drop the rent so low that it attracts a low-income tenant, some landlords aren't prepared to do that because they realise and recognise that the only way they can keep the value of that apartment is to keep it as new as possible, because that's the only thing that holds the apartment's value, aside from perhaps if it might have a view, you know, and a slight part of locational value. But there's so many apartments that are going up, even the locational value is diluted by the amount of supply that's coming onto the market. So we do speculate in the report that could be another reason why properties are also kept vacant for such a long period of time.
So there's been much talk about vacant property contributing to the lack of available housing. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely. We don't have a supply shortage. It's very easy for the government to spook that we have a supply shortage, because the cure for housing affordability would be directly in taxation reform. In other words, you must take the speculation out of the housing market to make housing affordable. The only way you can do that is through taxation reform. That's politically very difficult, especially when you've breastfed the nation on the notion that to become wealthy, you must put your money into land and housing, and not only own your own home, but also own a few investment properties. So the government finds it much easier to say that we have a supply shortage. What our report is designed to do is to show that actually we don't have a shortage of supply. We have a lot of supply, but that supply is just being hoarded. So, for example, in the last report that we wrote, and we're just updating it again now, you know, there were close to 80,000 properties, in fact, over 80,000 properties that we speculate were vacant for a 12-month period or more. And, you know, not all of those properties would be suitable for every person that needs accommodation. I mean, a lot of those properties are in high-rise apartment blocks that, you know, couldn't perhaps accommodate a family because they're only one or two bedrooms. But that's really not the point. The point is that our urban land is precious, and our urban land is being utilised for greed, not need. So it's being sold off to investors that aren't utilising that property, and therefore we really have no idea about how much supply we've got, because it's hidden. That latent supply is hidden. The property vacancy rates don't pick it up, because the mainstream vacancy rates only show you an apartment that is for sale or an apartment that is for rent. So that's why we did the report. We wanted to prove that we've actually got an oversupply of property, and really we need to do a lot more about it in terms of taxation reform.
And speaking of taxation reform, there's a talk of tax on vacant housing. What are the ramifications of this?
Yeah, so that's been directly from our report. We've not only stimulated the talk on implementation of a vacancy tax through the Speculative Vacancies Report, but the ABS are also now looking at designing their own index to identify vacant properties, which, of course, is off the back of the vacancy tax, because they're going to have to find a way of proving properties are vacant, even though the vacancy tax works at the moment on self-reporting. they do have to monitor those people that are self-reporting and do an audit of that and check that the rules aren't being flouted. The vacancy tax will cure housing affordability. It's not going to make land prices drop, which is what needs to happen if you want housing to be affordable. But it is a win-win. It's a win-win because nobody wants to know that, as I said, the land that we've got that is well facilitated with transport links and shopping centres is not being utilised by the local population, because if it's not, it means big productivity losses. You can look at unused land like an unemployment rate. If there's nobody living on that land, that means that people have to go further afield, people have to hop over that land, you know, in order to commute to jobs. So longer commute times, unemployment, land that is not being utilised for a business, for example, causes problems with employment. So it's important that land and housing is used, is lived in, is utilised for business or for living needs, as I just said. And the vacancy tax is a step in the right direction to ensuring that is the case. So it should be welcome, definitely a welcome move from government.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for joining me tonight, Catherine.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.